At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go paper-tarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
This is VSiN Tonight with veteran handicappers Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, welcome to VSiN Tonight, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Final hour of the 3-hour show tonight, and Wes Reynolds. I'm going to go back to the 2019 NBA draft. We were doing the live show that night during the draft, and I believe JVT was sitting alongside me. It might have been you, but I think it was JVT. Mm-hmm. And the Boston Celtics were picking 14th, and Danny Ainge had a bunch of draft picks to work with that year, and he had a chance to trade up. And with the Celtics sitting there at 14 and Tyler Hero still on the board, I kept saying to JVT, I don't think you were in on that draft.
No. That's right. It was John with you.
Okay. I kept saying, I think Ainge has got to trade up here, and he's got to get Tyler Hero. You've got all these draft picks. What's the point in sitting back? What if he gets picked before you? You can't risk that. You got to have a shooter. Well, guess what? Danny Ainge didn't make the trade. He sat back. He held all those picks. And guess who took Tyler Hero 13th? The Miami Heat.
Mm-hmm.
The Celtics sat there at 14. It took Romeo Langford from Indiana.
Yes. Yeah, it did not work out.
So all the credit Danny Ainge gets for being a genius, but that was a big blunder by him in that draft. And I'll tell you, JVT and I sat there and talked about it live that night. I couldn't believe that the Celtics did not trade up to get Tyler Hero when he was still on the board. Well, he came back to haunt the Celtics tonight.
Yeah, and it's easy to obviously look back on that because a few picks later even though he didn't work out necessarily with his first team, but he's working out in these playoffs, and that's Nickeil Alexander-Walker, who's now with the Minnesota Timberwolves off the bench. That team defensively, they have so many guys that guard really well. It's not just Rudy Gobert who's going to win the Defensive Player of the Year. You know, it's these other guys, Jaden McDaniels and Nickeil Alexander-Walker. If you can hit threes and you can defend, you can last in this league for 15, 20 years.
You know, Jalen McDaniels from San Diego State went in the second round of that draft.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, going back to Tyler Hero, he comes back to haunt the Celtics tonight. Hits 6 threes. The Heat knocked down 23 threes, and they take down Boston 111-101. And guess what? That's without Jimmy Butler on the floor. How bad is this loss? Put this in perspective, Wes. Celtics minus 1,400 on the money line at home. Heat 8-1 odds as an underdog. Celtics winning 14.5. Without Jimmy Butler, they get beat by 10 on their home floor.
Yeah, it's a brutal loss for the Celtics. I didn't anticipate this. I thought maybe the Heat would get one down in Miami just with the Celtics. Okay, they're going to shoot bad one night. Miami's going to make threes. Well, it just so happened it came tonight instead up there in Boston. So 1-1 here in what we thought was maybe going to be a wrap. Look, there were people betting sweep. Sweep, I think, was like minus 110 or minus 115 here. And it looked like it was probably going to get there after you watch game one. You're like, they were up 90-59 after the third quarter. Miami might have had some fatigue having to play another game, having to play basically three games in 5 days, but did not expect this tonight. Did not. I mean, I'm not ever going to lay 14 and a half or 15 in an NBA playoff game. I'm just not.
And you know what?
Because you never know.
Celtics have been very fragile favorites.
Yes.
We talked about that earlier in the show tonight. They are 10 and 11 straight up and favored by 5 points.
He'd actually got within the number. I mentioned that 90-59 after the third quarter. He'd actually briefly got within the number on Sunday, and then the Celtics closed him out. So yeah, that's really asking for it. By the way, this is the biggest underdog, I believe, to win in the NBA playoffs outright. I think it was 2019, that Clippers-Warriors series, that 1-8 in the first round, where the Clippers won outright as 15-point underdogs.
All right, so two things here. Lose the zero, get with the hero.
Yes.
You got that reference now?
I do.
Okay. And then the second thing is a monster coaching mismatch in this series, with the advantage going to Eric Spoelstra over Joe Mazzulla. Spoelstra blindfolded could take down Joe Mazzulla in a coaching head-to-head battle. David Dineen, the winner of the Circuit College Hoops Challenge, he said, Eric Spoelstra could take Wes, he could take Dineen, he could take me, and he said, two drunks off Fremont Street and win a playoff game.
There's some pretty shady characters this time of night sometimes on Fremont Street, so I don't know.
I'm not sure Spoelstra is that great. We better have a pretty good bench, too, because we couldn't play all 48 minutes.
No, we could not. I'm good for about a 3 or 4 minute burst, and then it's like gone. Then I'm gonna like be reaching. I'm gonna be like DJ Burns in the Final Four when they had that 7 minute stretch against Purdue, where he's just like, I'm just gonna grab him. I need to come out of the game.
You gonna be running the fast break with a with a long dart in your hand? Anyway, that's a big upset tonight. Where do you think this series goes from here, with the Miami Heat tying this at one?
Celtics probably win in six. I still think so. But they're just clearly the better team, and they're gonna shoot the ball, I think, better. What were they, 12 of 32 from the three tonight? So, you know, but I gotta say, you have to have a third option. Look, Derek White is pretty damn consistent. You know, he sometimes will give you more, but he's always gonna kind of give you 12 to 13 or 14 at least, even if he has an off game. But Porzingis was a big disappointment tonight.
Yeah, so I've been pretty hard on Joe Mazzulla. I think he's a weak coach, let's put it that way. It's going to be hard for the Celtics to get over the top.
The best coach they have is the one that's up in the front office. Brad Stevens. But people didn't think he was good enough.
Well, it's not all on Mazzulla tonight, because Porzingis played 30 minutes. He shot 1 for 9. He had 6 points. For those who care about the plus minus, he was minus 32.
Porzingis, by the way, that was a prop loser for me tonight. I actually had his over first quarter points, because he had scored 7, 12, and 14 in the last three meetings against Miami. So I thought, he's going to get a lot of looks, and he did have a lot of looks. He just missed him because Adebayo was going to be guarding Jason Tatum.
Right.
So that's going to open up the middle for a Porzingis. And, you know, Miami doesn't have a ton of size outside of Bam Adebayo. You know, that's going to leave it open. He'll be able to work Jovich or, you know, one of the smaller forwards, Caleb Martin or whoever it is. And Porzingis, you know, you could just tell he was way off on shots, too. These weren't just like, oh, in and out. You know, these were like absolute bricks and air balls he was throwing up in the first half.
30 minutes, 1 for 9, 6 points, minus 32 on the plus minus. Jrue Holiday, 9 points, shot 4 for 12. How about Al Horford? 23 minutes, 6 points. Peyton Pritchard, 20 minutes, scoreless. Those guys are going to have to play better. And you know the Boston Celtics are going to have a couple of bad games along the way in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And you got to hope they got that out of their system tonight. But also give the Heat a lot of credit. 23 for 43 from the three-point line.
Most threes they've ever hit in franchise history in a single playoff game, and needed absolutely all of them. Look, Tyler Hero, Jaime Jaquez. Speaking of another guy, that's the draft you and I were together. It was like, man, there's a lot of teams going to regret passing on this guy.
He's paying off for the Heat, right?
Absolutely. He's just a pro, and we even said it when he got drafted. It's like, he fits this team like a glove. He absolutely fits this team, and he had another good night tonight off the bench.
14 points for the Heat tonight for Jaime Jaquez. All right, so back to the NBA as we look ahead to Saturday. the next game of the series. DraftKings has the number up. Celtics open 8-point favorites on South Beach. You want to guess on Jimmy Butler's status? You got a couple days here.
Yeah, I mean, he's still going to be questionable, but they at least do have time.
You think he's going to be a game time decision?
I do.
All right, also tonight, Wes, got a blowout win for Oklahoma City. DraftKings has the opener up for the next game on Saturday, and it's OKC -1 at New Orleans.
Yeah, no surprise here, and I think that's probably going to get bad. Now, Zion, they're not going to know until, like, about this time next week if he can go. But yeah, so I don't see him anytime soon, but, you know, Thunder, I thought these teams were going to shoot better, and they both of them basically did. But the Thunder, how about this? 59% from the floor tonight and 48% from the three, 14 to 29, 18 to 20 from the foul line. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander not doing anything to, dispute those that are his advocates for the MVP, even though we know who's getting it. It's Nikola Jokic, and he's the best player in the world, and he should get it. But SGA, 33 tonight. Chet Holmgren with 26 tonight. Chet kind of got dominated in the first game, at least on the defensive end, because Jonas Valanciunas really got what he wanted. But Valanciunas did have 19 tonight. Only 7 rebounds. He had 20-plus in game number one. So Chet, much better in that regard. Also had a couple blocks. Jalen Williams with 21. So look, your big young three there giving you 80 points. Not going to get beat.
Boston Celtics go down. Big upset tonight in the NBA. We also got an upset in hockey. How about this? The number one seed in the West, the Dallas Stars, in a 2-0 hole to the defending Stanley Cup champs. Vegas Golden Knights do it again, Wes. I don't know how the Knights keep winning these games. They slide into the playoffs as the 8th seed, and they win the first two games on the road tonight. Vegas 3-1 over Dallas, and Stars close -162 at DraftKings.
Vegas Golden Knights, by the way, now returning to T-Mobile, returning the Fortress up 2-0 over the weekend. -425 on the series price, +350 now on the Dallas Stars. And
value with the Stars or no?
Probably maybe worth a stab, but boy, I guess because I think that they're probably going to get game three out here, even though Vegas certainly much healthier down the stretch. And meanwhile, a game that did go final, also one of the late games in the National Hockey League, we had another upset tonight. Los Angeles Kings, 5-4. They win in overtime, and Adrian Kempe had 2 goals. Kopitar with the game winner there in overtime in Edmonton. So the Oilers now go to L.A. 1-1.
All right, Indiana Pacers. Do they have the Bucks backed into the corner? We're going to talk about that because one of the Pacers are kind of taking some shots at the Milwaukee Bucks fans as we get ready for game three, and also golf best bets. Wes Reynolds is going to preview a couple of events this weekend. Even though it's not a big-time weekend in golf, we've always got best bets.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
is VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, I'm going to come in 1 hour early tomorrow night for the VSiN exclusive NFL draft show starting at 6 p.m. Eastern with VSiN primetime host Tim Murray and JVT. Special guests Mike Golic, Sr. and Jr. Deep dive into the draft prospects and predictions. That's the primetime show with Murray and Von Tobel. Stay locked in for a special edition of the GM Shuffle at 8 p.m. Eastern. Former NFL exec Michael Lombardi and his co-host Femi Abebefe bring you real-time analysis of the first-round picks. I know Tim Murray's going to hang around for that, and I'm going to jump in on the show for the final hour. Watch this special edition of the GM Shuffle on VSiN, DraftKings Network, or on VSiN's YouTube page. Cap off the night here at 11 p.m. Eastern with VSiN Tonight. Wes Reynolds and myself, we will recap all the betting action from the first round of the NFL draft. Find your coverage, including our mock drafts and best bets, all up at vsin.com/draft. All right, back here on VSiN Tonight. Wes, let's actually go ahead and take a quick look at the NBA playoffs for Friday, because the Indiana Pacers tied the series with the Bucks. They bounced back from that big performance by Damian Lillard in Game 1. It was Dame time in Game 1. It was the Pacers time in Game 2. They tied the series. Now they're going back to Indianapolis. Do you feel like the Pacers are in a position now to take control after the Greek Freak missed the first two games for the Bucks?
I do. And look, we're going to find out, you know, if the Pacers win, you know, how serious this Giannis injury is, because they're gonna need him, I think, and they're gonna have to have him in Game 4. And I know that's obvious, you know, they need one of the best players in the world. Of course they do. But in terms of a schematic standpoint, you can tell that the Milwaukee Bucks have zero answer for Pascal Siakam. None. They don't have anybody to guard him, and Giannis, I think, is the only prayer in terms of his length. Maybe it can bother Pascal, but Siakam, once again, big-time game. He did have 37 in game number two, and really leading this team, because Tyrese Halliburton, quite frankly, has not given them consistent offense. He's really lost, I think, his confidence with the shot. He can still get anywhere he wants with the basketball, you know, off the dribble. Had 12 assists last night, but little bit inconsistent shooting. But Pascal Siakam, 16 of 23 from the floor, 37 and 11. He was really the only guy I felt in game one on Sunday, Matt, that was really ready to play. And you could tell that this is a Pacers team that was devoid of playoff experience, because they had never been there before, because they looked scared. They looked scared on Sunday. Didn't look scared on Tuesday. And I got to give Turner had another good game too, at 22. But especially the younger guys, Andrew Nembhard, Aaron Nesmith, they looked like they were ready to go. Ben Shepherd played some really good minutes off the bench, and they shortened their rotation a little bit. Basically only played eight guys, played Shepherd, Obi Toppin, and TJ McConnell off the bench. But I thought the Pacers were ready, and I thought they kind of ran into a bus on game one, because everybody was discounting the Bucks, because it's like, well, this team beat you four or five times. Now you don't have Giannis. You guys are screwed. And then Damian Lillard scores 35 in the first half, and that was all she wrote.
125-108 was the Pacers' response in Game 2. They win by 17. Now they go home to Indianapolis. Game 3, Pacers at DraftKings, 5-point favorites, total of 222.5. Tyrese Halliburton did not play especially well in Game 2. Like you said, he had 12 points, shot 4 for 10. He did shoot 3 for 7 from 3, and he had 12 assists. It's not like he had a poor game. But he fired some shots at Bucks fans after the game. How about this clip of Halliburton on the Milwaukee fans?
Yeah, I'm expecting it to be unbelievable. No doubt about that. I mean, we've had regular season crowds better than what we've played in these last two games, you know. So we expect a great crowd. A lot of people are excited about what's to come, you know, in the series. And,
you know, just the energy in the city right now with everything that's going on, but especially with us. So, you know, we're excited. To go.
Tyrese Halliburton, by the way, a native of Oshkosh, Wisconsin, went to Oshkosh North High School. I think a lot of that was the fact that apparently there was an incident with his brother, and his brother got called a racial slur by some fan up there in Milwaukee. Which, look, honestly, that can happen anywhere. He grew up 90 miles north of there. He always, like, when he comes in, has had, like, campers and kids at the game and whatnot when he comes home to Wisconsin. So part of that, I think, was taking a shot because he was probably ticked off about what was said to his brother, allegedly.
Well, like you said, we've had better regular season crowds in Indiana than we had in playoffs here the last two games in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, I've been to, and you have too, I've been to some Pacers home playoff games. So I covered some when the Bulls and Pacers played in the late 90s. It was an electric atmosphere.
Oh, yeah.
Pacers got some of the best fans
in the old days at Market Square Arena.
Yeah.
Where that place was an old building, but it was like the roof was shaking in some of those games. With the Bulls series, the Knicks series in the 90s, like, there was some real hate, and I think that there's some real hate in this series. These two teams do not like each other. And this is an emerging rivalry, and I think that that's a good thing to have a new rivalry here with the Pacers and the Bucks. It certainly materialized in the regular season. There was that incident where the Bucks finally paid back the Pacers, and, you know, Rick Carlisle had a pettiness. I think Oscar Tshiebwe was on the roster, and they took the ball, but that ball was supposed to be for Giannis because he got 60 that night, and they left him in to get 60 that night. So there's some heat and there's some hatred between these two teams, which
Pacers,
is good.
Pacers beat the Bucks
in the in-season tournament
in Vegas.
Yeah, yeah. 1-4-5, by the way. But all those matchups happened in November and December. So these two teams, it's still a little bit of a feeling out process because Doc was not the coach at the time. Adrian Griffin was the coach. And then for the Pacers, they didn't have Pascal Siakam. And that's why Tyrese, you know, it was really interesting because he could do anything he wanted against Milwaukee in these earlier games. But I think one of the reasons, you know, he's been shut down a little bit is because the Bucks did get Patrick Beverley in a trade. And Patrick Beverley has done a great job of defending Tyrese, has just basically harassed him. So that's why you're not seeing Tyrese put up the offensive numbers that he certainly was.
Patrick Beverley would be the last guy I'd want to be guarding me.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a nuisance.
Oh.
He's an absolute nuisance. And Tyrese, look, because I was getting, I was like, man, especially on the break, that's where you got to take advantage, either drive or pull up from that three. And Tyrese just has not been shooting the ball very well.
Beverly's a great defender. If I were a GM, I would definitely do what I could to get that guy on my team because of the attitude he brings. It's kind of contagious in terms of a team playing with more of an edge. Hey, how about this, Wes? At Circa, the Pacers are 4.5-point favorites. At several other books, 5.5. Well, the Westgate Superbooks got 5.5.
Mm-hmm.
DraftKings has 5. Why do you think Circa's a little bit lower here on the Pacers of 4.5?
Maybe a little bit of uncertainty if Giannis is going to play. I don't expect that he's going to play. Certainly the market doesn't expect he's going to play. And look, Damian Lillard, by the way, for a second game, it was a quiet number that he did put up in game number two, but Damian Lillard still put up a ton of points, put up 34. Lopez was better, but, you know, to compete with the Pacers, because the Pacers can score a lot of points, you're going to have to get multiple guys. So you're going to have to get Middleton contributing. You're going to have to get Bobby Portis contributing a little bit more too, because he's in that starter role. He's not just that guy off the bench that can score against the second unit.
All right, so all the games on Friday have about the same number. Not the same total, but the Pacers, 5-point home favorites against the Bucks, the Mavericks, 4.5-point home favorites against the Clippers, and the Suns laying 4 at home against the T-Wolves. Quick take on the other two games, Wes. Clippers, Mavs, T-Wolves, Suns.
Yeah, I'll start with the T-Wolves, Suns. That's a series maybe the market's going to end up getting wrong because the Suns became the favorite in that series, and I know they swept Minnesota in 3 meetings. And look, I thought, okay, the Suns are going to hit jump shots because Minnesota gives you nothing at the rim with Gobert and McDaniels. Chris Finch made a really nice adjustment, though, in putting McDaniels on Devin Booker. And Devin Booker's had a tough couple games where it's like, okay, we can put Karl Anthony Towns on Durant. And if Durant gets his, so be it. But we're gonna cut off the head of the snake, shall we say, and start with Devin Booker. And Grayson Allen hadn't given him much. Now, Grayson Allen did leave game two with an ankle injury, but they just don't have enough depth off the bench. Eric Gordon gave him some scoring in game number two, but you're going to have to count on those guys like Gordon and O'Neal with outside shooting. And then Booker, Beal, and Durant, their big three have got to be like a big three, and they absolutely weren't. Minnesota's been the more physical and intense team through two games.
Why Leonard not so great in game two for the Clippers, and Luka Doncic was, and the Mavericks tie that up. Where do you think that series goes?
I think that's going 7 games. I'm still going to say it's going seven games, and it is just going to zigzag back and forth. So if you're playing series prices, you can kind of do that with the series where you get plus money on one side on a series price, and you can scalp on the other side, because I think this is going seven games.
It looks like a hell of a series. And Luka Doncic with an incredible game, too. And again, the home favorites all weighing between all weighing around 4 to 5 points in each game on Friday in the NBA. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll talk NFL draft. Adam Hill of the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ESPN Radio Vegas joined us to tell us if he thinks the Raiders are going to draft Michael Penix. What trade? He's forecasting a bold trade in the top 10. Quick break and back with Adam Hill.
This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, if you go to our website right now, you're going to find plenty of NFL draft coverage, NBA, Stanley Cup playoffs, and more. VSiN.com for best bets, betting splits, all the tools you need to be a successful handicapper, VSIN.com. All right, let's go out to the Progressive guest line and call Adam Hill of the Las Vegas Review-Journal, also ESPN Radio in Vegas. And Adam, I know you've been tracking the Vegas Golden Knights tonight and reporting on the hockey game. Knights win 3-1 on the road in Dallas. They take a 2-0 series lead over the number one seed in the West. Wes Reynolds, what's the adjusted series price now on Vegas Dallas?
Yeah, I got a couple for you. At DraftKings, minus 425 on VGK, plus 350 on the Stars, and then right here behind us at Circa, minus 405 on the Knights, plus 330 on the Stars.
Adam Hill, welcome in. I know you cover the Knights, the Raiders, and a lot more. You followed the Knights last year on their way to the Stanley Cup championship. Are you surprised they took the first two games in Dallas, and where do you think this series goes from here?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised. I thought the Stars would win at least one of them. Look, the Knights are a really good team. They're battle-tested for sure, and I know a lot of people around the league are furious that this team is not really cap compliant, but you don't have to be in the playoffs. They're, you know, they're taking advantage of the rules that are in place, and when this team is fully healthy, they're a very, very dangerous team. But I didn't think they'd go win two in a row, but that's exactly what they've done, and now they are firmly in control. And I know you're talking about the series price. I will tell you this. Three teams that have been the number one seed in their conference have fallen behind 2-0 at home since 2010. Two of those teams went on to get swept. One of them won one game and lost in five. So history not on the side of the Stars making a rally here.
Wes, I said, you said this, I think, in the previous segment. You liked the Stars in game three, though, right?
I do like them in game three, and especially in the first period. That would be where I would look, because it's like, okay, your backs are against the wall. You're on the road. The whole crowd's against you. The crowd's happy. It's like, hey, we're up 2-0. We're going to make another cup run. We're going to go back-to-back, baby. And I think the Stars are going to come out focused, so I especially like them in the first period of game.
I'm sure the 2019 Lightning, the 2012 Canucks, and the 2000 and I believe it was one other team on there. I'm sure those three teams all thought the same thing.
Right.
That was not the case for them. But yeah, 2017 Blackhawks, who lost their Predators, was the other one. So we'll see what happens here. But look, the Knights are playing really well. Logan Thompson's kind of playing out of his mind. That's a big development for the Knights and something to track as well. Radek Foxa and Mason Marchment both left in the third period for the Stars with injuries. That does not bode well for them trying to rally here in game three.
At Adam Hill, LVRJ, the Las Vegas Review-Journal with us now. Also an NFL reporter covers the Raiders. Let's talk NFL draft. Adam, I read your mock draft. You predicted a bold trade into the top 10. Do you still believe J.J. McCarthy is going to go top five? Do you still feel strongly about your NFL draft here on the eve of the draft?
Man, it's falling apart now. The more you think about it, obviously, the more you start analyzing it. And I'll say this, like, you can take what you want out of every mock draft, but there are certain ones that I take a little bit more stock in, and certain teams, certainly, that I take a little bit more stock in because of people that follow them closely. And, you know, Daniel Jeremiah came out with his a couple hours ago, and it completely shifted the market because all of a sudden, J.C. Latham to the Chargers at number five, and you say, wait a minute, that seems pretty weird, and that seems kind of out there. I haven't seen that anywhere else. Well, don't forget, Daniel Jeremiah works with the Chargers.
Yeah.
He's part of that organization. So all of a sudden you say, well, it didn't come from nowhere. Like, there's definitely people that he's talking to, and he's a really sharp mind. He knows what's going on. I would say J.C. Latham is not one of his top five prospects. So for him to pop up as a top five pick, that has to raise a lot of eyebrows. It certainly raised my eyebrows. And that's who I had. I had the Chargers trading out of that fifth spot and giving it up to the Vikings to make that, to make that move and then to get J.J. McCarthy there. But we'll see how that plays out. And, Charles Robinson, who has some connections, I think, and he said that the Patriots favor J.J. McCarthy over Drake May. So that could kind of change how the draft plays out in the top 10.
Adam, moving to the Raiders here, who are going to pick number 13, Tom Colesko. This is going to be his first draft. Speaking of Chargers, he was the old GM there and, of course, spent some time at the Colts and Bill Polian. Raiders, going back from 2019 to 2023, Adam, they've made 38 selections in between there, and just 17 remain with the club. So any idea in terms of, I know Tom Telesco hasn't been here in Las Vegas very long, in terms of maybe what his philosophy is and what he's going to value here, especially in the early rounds for the Raiders?
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, there's something that to what he values, and we can talk about that for sure. But I think it's also going to be very telling to see how much impact and how much input Antonio Pierce has on this draft and what happens with where the Raiders go. Like, Antonio Pierce is not playing the games that most coaches play, that most personnel people play, that, you know, that being subtle and quiet about it. He's been right out there saying, I want Jaden Daniels. Like, that's who I want. That's the guy I want. And Jaden Daniels said himself he wants to play with the Raiders. And that's kind of how this has played out. They've tried to make some moves behind the scenes. I know, very interesting. I know it's kind of under the radar, but sounds like they made a pretty significant offer to try to get that number 21 pick from the Dolphins. There's only one reason they're trying to do that. They're trying to get a second first round pick so they can compete with the Vikings offer near the top of the draft. Like, that's clearly what they're trying to do here. And so, you know, we'll see if they're able to do some maneuvering. And if they are, that's Antonio Pierce's call, I would think. Tom Telesco seems to be more practical, you know, kind of stay where you are, draft that offensive tackle, maybe the corner, which I would prefer they would add to this team. But I think we'll see who has the most power, who has the most voice here. And I do kind of think it's Tom Telesco, actually. So we'll see how this kind of plays out in the next couple of hours. If we wake up in the morning and the Raiders are really aggressive again, trying to make a move. But it's also possible, look, people have said, I thought the Raiders were going to be more aggressive. I think they have been. But the Commanders don't seem to be listening. So it takes two to play. If the Commanders don't want to trade out, there's nothing you can do about it. But if for some reason the Commanders don't favor Jaden Daniels, then I think all hell breaks loose and the Raiders do whatever they can to get up to number 3 to take him.
Yeah, but how much would the Raiders have to give up to move all the way from 13 to 2? You got to give up this year's first rounder, probably two more first rounders, and what else? That's too high a price to pay, right?
Yeah, I would think so, but I think that's why they were trying to maneuver. If they trade their second, third, and sixth for another first, now all of a sudden you're trading like half of your draft this year and then maybe two more additional one, maybe just one more additional one and a 3 next year, something like that. So we'll see if they're able. I think that they're going to have to figure out a way to get another first-round pick, and that's what they seem to be trying to do this year in order to compete with the Vikings. You know, hold all the cards right now. They have two first-round picks that are very attractive to teams that are looking to make moves. And if you look at those draft trade charts, which a lot of teams do, a lot of teams are kind of married to those, future first-round picks aren't worth as much as we think they are. And so I think teams do value them, but they're worth less than you would think when you kind of play that forward and try to play that that trade chart game.
Adam, there seemed to be at least a little bit of smoke with Michael Penix potentially to the Raiders, but I'm not so sure at number 13 that there's that much there. But where do you think that the Raiders have to go? We know that they're looking for a quarterback if they can't pull off a trade, obviously, for Jaden Daniels that we just talked about. But where do you think that they have to fall or trade down or trade up to at that second-round pick to get Michael Penix in the first round?
Yeah, I think a lot of people said I was completely off for where I had it, but I had the Raiders trading back into the first round at number 31 and taking Penix at that spot because I do think there's interest there. And I do think some teams are very much infatuated with Michael Penix. He's such a good thrower of the ball. And really, if you're around him, if you talk to him, just such a good kid as well. I think there's a lot of teams that are intrigued by that. But I'm really interested to see where he falls with the medical history. And we know what the history is, but how did he test? And we hear all these reports, oh, he was fine. But every year around the draft, every team we hear their own reports coming out. And just because like the general report was good doesn't mean all these teams have very overwhelmingly positive reports on somebody's health. And I have to imagine there's a ton of teams in the league that have either crossed him off their list or at least dropped him down based on what his medicals say, because he's had four really serious injuries, both shoulders, one knee twice with two ACLs. Like, there's a lot there on his body that I think you're going to be very scared of in terms of using a high first-round pick on a guy like Michael Penix, despite his skill set being as good as it is. I mean, if you take away the injuries, he could be in the mix of the top three. I don't think there's any question. But you can't ignore that, and I don't think there's a lot of teams that are willing to ignore it.
Adam Hill with us. Sorry, time flying by. We got about 90 seconds left. How many quarterbacks go in the first round, Adam? And what do you think, what would you consider your best bets or the best bets on the draft board right now? Because I know you bet the draft.
Yeah, I mean, I like Joe Alt going early. I don't think there's any way he goes past Tennessee. I think Joe Alt to Tennessee is a pretty good bet right now. That's what I'm looking at. I know he's the favorite there. But I think it's five quarterbacks. I know the number's 4.5. I know a lot of people now are saying 6 for sure. I would never use a first-round pick on Bo Nix, and I don't think a lot of teams would disagree with that. So I think Bo Nix falls out. I think it's 5 in the first round. Maybe Penix even slides out as well. But that's a really interesting play. I think maybe under 6.5 receivers, because I think it's so deep that some teams will wait. Mm-hmm. I was looking at that one as well. I think there's a ton of really, really good receivers and a lot of guys that are worth going in the first round, but I think other teams will look at it and say, hey, there's like 10 or 11 that I'm willing to have, so I'm going to wait on receiver, and I think you might see that play out.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said there. How about the Raiders? Penix at 13, or do they try to take him later in the first round if they do at all?
I think they let him go, and then if he's still there later in the first round, I think they trade back in.
All right, Adam Hill, Las Vegas Review-Journal, appreciate the time tonight.
Sounds good, anytime.
Adam Hill, LBRJ, if you want to follow him via the Progressive Guest Line. We come back, we wrap up the show with the top games and the best bets on the Thursday card.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
VSiN Tonight with Matt Humans and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. All the way through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook, as you covered, with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boost, and more. Download the DK Sportsbook app and use code VSiN. New customers bet $5. Get 200 in bonus bets instantly. Use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N, only on DraftKings. All right, Wes, let's go ahead and take a look at the top games and the best bets for Thursday.
This is VSIN's Daily Morning Bets. Here's your hosts, Matt Humans and Wes Reynolds.
All right, we're going to start in the West Coast in the Association and with the Lakers. And, Wes, I am tempted here to play the Lakers plus one. That's a DraftKings number. They're down 2-0 in the series, blew a 20-point lead in Game 2. If they're going to get one, it's going to be Game 3 in this series. At what point do the Lakers get tired of getting their brains beat in by the Denver Nuggets?
Well, no time like the present. Huh? Yeah, no time like the present, really. I do lean Lakers here. I think that they're going to get at least one at crypto, probably just one. They look. They outplayed Denver, I felt, for the almost the entire game, too, until they didn't, until Jamal Murray hit that shot at the buzzer to give them the win. And I thought they outplayed Denver for about three quarters on Saturday in game number one. So eventually LeBron has one game where he goes into, like, you know, kill mode and just takes over. And I think that this is going to be the one.
I do, too. Lakers plus one. That would be the best bet for me in the last of the three NBA playoff games on Thursday night. How about the middle game? In the sandwich, the Knicks and the Sixers in Philadelphia. And you talk about a team that blew a game. That's the Sixers in game two. The NBA last two-minute report showed the Sixers got the worst of the officiating at the end, but nobody cares now because they're down two games in the series. Another team with its back to the wall at home, and you got to pay the price if you're going to back the Sixers here. 4.5-point favorites for the game. But, Wes, just like the Lakers, are you also looking to play first quarter and first half?
Would lean that way. Now you're paying the tax. Even if you're looking at the money line, like first quarter money line, the lowest I saw was 165. I even saw as high as 185 at BetMGM. Sixers, though, you know, in their better role, 21-12 against the spread as a home favorite this year, 33-19 overall as a favorite. So they are in the much better role. We know Joel Embiid is obviously hurting and not 100%, even though he's still producing. Philly has been very good in both these first two games of the series, despite being down 0-2, 34-25 and 25-18 in the first quarter in this series. But in the second quarter, got outscored 33-12 and 31-28, respectively. So Philly first quarter spread probably would be my first look here.
Yeah, I can see that as well. How about the first of the three games, Cavs and Magic in Orlando, and the Magic two-point favorites, total of 198.5.
Boy, I know 198.5. Look, and the overs did come back on Wednesday night. Both games, by the way, went over the total. Heat and Celtics, and also Thunder and Pelicans. So 198.5 is going to be tempting. It's like, oh, you can't have a total this low, but you really can because both these teams struggle against really shooting the basketball, especially Orlando. Orlando has difficulty scoring, but I think being home, you might want to be on them early because I don't think you're getting the tax maybe in the Orlando game that you're certainly going to get with the Lakers and certainly with Philadelphia because Orlando, this is all fresh to them, new playoff team. So they've really shown nothing in the first two games. And maybe that's when you want to be on them, when a team just looks like they don't have anything. Because this Cleveland team, I don't think is very good. They're just more experienced than Orlando.
All right, curveball here. Let's go golf betting. We haven't talked about this much. The Zurich Classic of New Orleans starts Thursday. This is a team event. Wes, this is a tough handicap, but you threw out a team here I decided I was going to take a shot with this week at about 25-1 odds, and that's Tom Hoagie and Maverick McNealy.
Yeah, Hoagie, one of the better approach games on tour, actually probably deserved a better finish at the RBC. He was on the first page of the leaderboard most of the weekend. Then you put Maverick McNealy with the putter. He's as good as anybody, so they're going to make a lot of birdies. Tom Hoagie, Maverick McNealy. Another one, there's a couple team candidates in here, one being Corey Connors, Taylor Pendrift. But the one I looked at, and I actually got it 30-1, even though it's dropped, a lot of people like this team, and that's Nick Taylor and Adam Hadwin. Remember Adam Hadwin had that incident at the RBC Canadian Open when his partner Nick Taylor hit that 72-foot putt to beat Tommy Fleetwood, and then he was out there to celebrate, and some overzealous security guard just waylaid him like he was a linebacker in the NFL. And so Taylor and Hadwin here, a couple other teams in the mid-range, Taylor Moore, Matt Neesmith, they were fourth here each of the last 2 years, Davis Thompson, Andrew Novak, another team to look at about 45-50-1.
All right, so I went ahead and followed your lead there on that team of Hoagie and McNealy. Could that be a sneaky way for Maverick McNealy to win in his first PGA
Tour? It could, and look, by the way, I know this event is a funky kind of format here, but there's a lot on the line for these guys, especially to get that two-year PGA Tour exemption. You don't get a Masters invite, but you do get in the PGA. You do get in the Players. You do get in that Kapalua at the Century Tournament of Champions. So, and you also do get FedEx Cup points. So there's a lot on the line for some of these guys, and that's why you see them playing this week. And plus, it's a good chance to win just because Scottie Scheffler's not here, and they need a break from Scottie. And so do I, as a better.
I hear you. All right, so I don't bet the live event very often, but I did take a shot this week, and you also have a play here. Cameron Smith, been pretty quiet, but he played well at the Masters, and he played well in this tournament a year ago, and this is in Australia. So go ahead and talk about Cameron Smith as the best bet.
Yeah, T3 here at home soil in Adelaide in South Australia. T6 2 weeks ago at the Masters, like you said, led the field for scrambling, second for strokes gained around the green, four for putting. Cameron Smith also played your favorite, Patrick Reed, who did get his top 10 live finish in Miami. Also was T12 at the Masters. He was T3 here last year. If you want a long shot, Peter Uihlein at 55-1 T7 here last year.
All right, Stanley Cup playoffs, Wes. You got one game you may play on Thursday.
Yeah, and it would be the Tampa Bay Lightning. Sam Bennett going to miss for the Florida Panthers. Lightning did go to overtime and then lost to Florida, so down 2-0. Look, they need more production from the depth. The only goal scoring they've gotten is from Steven Stamkos, Braden Point, and Brandon Hagel. Those are their usual frontline guys. But Florida's been the better team in the 5-on-5. Each game has been a one-goal game, so I lean Tampa Bay here, actually, on the money line. Bennett is that agitator and whatnot, and I think Florida is going to miss him here in Game 3.
All right, now let's go to baseball. Justin Verlander has made one start for the Astros. Boy, they're 7-18. They've lost four games in a row. Verlander prepared to make his second start Thursday. It's going to be at Wrigley Field against the Cubs. He's a small favorite. Wes, he went six innings in his first start. What do you expect here for Verlander and the Astros at Wrigley?
Yeah, he did go six innings, but didn't throw a lot of pitches really either. And this is his second start off injury, so I still think he might be on a little bit of a pitch count leash, but he's a guy, he's not really striking out guys, Matt, but he does pitch contact, so that's why I'm a little leery in terms of looking at his under outs. I might look under strikeouts here with Justin Verlander. I think that is certainly a way that you can look. I'm looking to see if the number is out there. And yeah, it's 6.5, juice the under. That's probably going to 5.5 in the morning. It is early, though, in Wrigley, and it is that getaway game where teams got to go on the road and get on a flight afterwards, so you often see some unders in that game. I could see that tomorrow. Astros just not hitting the baseball right now.
All right, 24 hours before the NFL draft, you have to take down the props in Nevada, but across the country, you can still bet the draft. And I'll mention some of my NFL draft best bets. Some of these I put up on vsin.com a week ago. A few of them I put up last night, but the first player drafted, Jaden Daniels, $3 favorite over Drake May in a head-to-head matchup. That means I need Daniels to go two and not May to go in that second spot, which I feel pretty confident in that. I also bet quarterbacks in the first round over 4.5 at -170. That was a week ago. That price all the way up to -350 when it closed today at circa 380 at DraftKings. J.J. McCarthy, you can still play this. And I played it last night here at Circa. McCarthy over 5.5. That's not to be one of the top five picks. McCarthy over 5.5 at +125 is what I played it. And I actually saw +145 out there today. Joe Alt, offensive tackle from Notre Dame, to be the fifth pick by the Chargers. A lot of buzz now that might be J.C. Latham from Alabama. But I played Alt at 5-1 odds to be the number five pick. Brock Bowers, tight end from Georgia, draft position over 11.5. At -150, I've got Bowers going to the Broncos at 12. Daniel Jeremiah has got him slipping to the Colts at number 15. Quinyon Mitchell, draft position over 13.5. Jared Verse, draft position over 15.5. Position of the Jets' first draft pick, offensive line +120. Position of the Bears' second draft pick, that would be a top 10 pick, offensive line 9-1 odds. Those are many of the best bets we have up there for the NFL draft. You can find them all at vsin.com. Thanks to Aaron Moore and Adam Hill. We'll be back here on Thursday night with our NFL draft special featuring Michael Lombardi. Stay tuned for that. Follow the money coming up on vsin, the sports betting network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.